leave for... Not Monday. We've moved on past that. It's nonsensical. It's whatever other things I normally say at this point in time. What we're going to do is welcome you to the 20th of September. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. And very, very, very quickly, thank you for the wonderfully random compliments on Facebook yesterday. Yes, the joke about Bill was fantastic. God, it was so good. Wish I had planned it. Hi, everyone. The folks bringing things to you today, the man that, well, he's been told about the all-day Zoom meeting again. It's podcasting Drew Siegfried.
This will all end in tears. I just know.
Not much you can do about it. Me? I'm the guy that has a good time everywhere he goes. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
This is quite homoerotic.
No.
Well, what happened this fine day, sir?
In 1784, the Pennsylvania Packet and Daily Advertiser, the first daily paper in America, is first published.
1883, the first direct telegraph connection between the U.S. and Brazil is completed.
Many people think it would have taken 100 years before it happens. 1893, J. Frank Duryea drives the first gas-propelled car manufactured in the U.S.
See, it wasn't Ford. 1895, the Duryea Motor Wagon Company, the first automobile manufacturer, is established. See, it wasn't Henry Ford.
1897, the New York Sun runs a letter sent in by Virginia O'Hanlon asking, I am 8 years old. Some of my friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus?
1903, the first cowboy film, Kit Carson, directed by Wallace McCutcheon, premieres in the U.S. The black and white film gives rise to the cowboy and Indian genre, running time of 21 minutes. That's a film.
1913, the first aerobatic maneuver, a sustained inverted flight, is performed in France, hopefully on purpose.
1930, Johann Ostermeyer receives a patent for the flash bulb.
Really? I didn't realize they made trench coats that small. 1937, George Allen and Unwin Limited publishes the first edition of the fantasy novel The Hobbit, written and illustrated by J.R.R. Tolkien, a professor at Oxford University.
1957, the television series Perry Mason, starring Raymond Burr, made its debut on CBS.
1972, the NASA robotic space probe Mariner 10 makes second pass of the planet Mercury.
1999, Google takes its web search engine, its core service, out of beta.
2000, United States prosecutors reveal that Jason Dykeman, age 20, is charged with allegedly hacking into computer systems at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena and NASA computers at Stanford University. Additional charges allege that the theft of over 500 credit card numbers, which were used to make more than $6,000 worth of purchases.
Why did NASA have all those credit cards? 2001, Deep Space One passes within 2,200 kilometers of Comet Borealis.
Ninth sequel. 2004, the BBC America launches the 20th anniversary edition of the Infocom interactive fiction game, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, specifically to coincide with the initial broadcast of the radio series Tertiary Phase. The game will go on to win the Interactive BAFTA Award for Best Online Entertainment on March 2nd, 2005.
Such a good game. Same day, same year, the Star Wars trilogy is released on DVD for the first time. The re-release features extensive restoration and alterations. Many of them will become points of controversy among Star Wars fans who were outraged the original versions of the film, as first seen in theaters, are not available in the DVD format.
Yeah, the lightsabers shouldn't change colors the way that they do. I just... 2007, Screen Gems releases the sci-fi action film Resident Evil Extinction, directed by Russell McKay and starring Mila Jovovich, Ali Larder, Oded Fehr, and Mike Epps.
3977, Taylor destroys the Earth by activating the Alpha Omega Doomsday Bomb after being wounded by General Ursus, thus ending the last war Earth would ever have, and no more apes would put their stinking dirty paws on him. Birthdays?
Christian Serratos is 31. Rosita in Walking Dead, and Angela in Twilight.
Allison Scagliotti is 31 from Drake and Josh, Warehouse 13, Stitchers.
Allie Skag, yeah. Maggie Grace is 38, Erna in Twilligit, Kim in Taken, and Shannon on Lost, as well as Californication.
Robert Hoffman is 41, She's the Man, Step Up 2, Aliens in the Attic, and 90210.
Paulo Costanza, 43, Animorphs, Josie and the Pussycats, 40 Days and 40 Nights, Joy and Royal Pains.
Luke Wilson is 50 from Idiocracy, Old School, Bottle Rocket, The Royal Tenenbaums, Home Fries, Legally Blonde, and currently on Stargirl.
Alfonso Ribeiro is 50, from Silver Spoons, America's Funniest Home Videos, and Carlton on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Ricky Lake is 53 from Hairspray, Crybaby, Serial Mom, Inspired the Offspring.
Oh, that's right. Didn't she have a talk show for a while?
She did.
One of those daytime. Yep. David Wenham is 56. Faramir in Lord of the Rings, 300, Van Helsing, and 300 Rise of an Empire.
Cheryl Hines is 56 from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Father of the Pride, Suburgatory, Edie, and Son of Zorn.
Father of the Pride was fun. That was like one of the early CG animated TV shows.
I enjoyed Son of Zorn.
Yeah. Rob Morrow is 59 from Private Resort, Northern Exposure, and Numbers. I'm sorry, Numthriers.
David James Elliott is 61. He was John Wayne in Trumbo. He was a Melrose Place, and your mom loved him in JAG.
Dave Coulier is 62 from Full House, also hosted America's Funniest People, was a good stand-up comedian for a while, and of course was the inspiration for Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know.
Bill Murray is 71 from Meatballs, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, Scrooge, Groundhog Day, Lost in Translation, The Dead Don't Die.
I think he's also one of America's greatest treasures.
Yep.
Also, Stephen King, 74. He wrote a few books.
Fanny Flagg is 77, Five Easy Pieces, Grease, was a Match Game panelist extraordinaire, and is the author of Fried Green Tomatoes.
Born in the state, no longer with us in 1866, H.G. Wells. Author of War of the Worlds, The Time Machine, Island of Dr. Moreau, The Invisible Man, basically influenced modern sci-fi.
1912, Chuck Jones, animator, worked on Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies, and is the reason we have comedic influences the way we do in cartoon form.
Mm-hmm. 1931, Larry Hagman, I Dream of Jeannie, Dallas, Primary Colors, and directed Beware the Blob.
1935, Henry Gibson from Laugh-In, Nashville, and Boston Legal.
On CBS, we've got a new FBI, FBI Most Wanted, and an FBI International.
ABC Bachelor in Paradise, and The Ultimate Surfers on a new The Ultimate Surfer.
NBC, The Blind Auditions premiere on a part two of new The Voice. Mac, basically, they just don't do anything with the eye holes. They just leave them blind. Max and Sharp realize the dynamic has changed between them. Iggy reaches out to an old acquaintance to help with an issue at the hospital. Bloom gets to know her new emergency department residence, and Reynolds gets caught in an awkward position. Hello! On a new answer, man.
Fox, it's a new The Resident and Our Kind of People.
CW has a new Stargirl, followed by a new Stargirl.
Freeform's got Despicable Me and Despicable Me as well.
AMC has Lethal Weapon, the original movie classic.
FX, Monica and the President struggle as the tension rises. A settlement offer is made to Paula. Linda begins to feel targeted after recent events on a new impeachment, American Crime Story.
Don't tell me what happens. FXX, Simpsons Marathon, Yokel Hero, do pizza bots dream of electric guitars?
FXM, Dad is home too.
CBC America has Captain Phillips.
I am the captain now. Sci-Fi is showing Beetlejuice only one time because they're playing it safe.
Oh, they should really show it back to back to back. That'd be fantastic.
That's just, no, it's terrifying. Terrifying. The Accountant, that doesn't add. Science Channel has Anzani House Demolition on Scrap Kings.
USA has WWE Next, brother.
But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A college freshman and her best friend are thrilled to rush the same sorority her mother was in, but the friends part ways when she decides to join another sorority instead. And when her best friend gets murdered, she is framed for the death. Sarah Fisher and Renee Ashton star in Sorority Sister Killer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby gets a phone call saying Ben was murdered. Jordan has a plan to ruin the perfume company. Sonny refuses to believe the truth about Chad's mother. And Aunt Shawn is keeping a cautious eye on the hospitalized Kate. You know, this move by Jordan is somewhat surprising to folks. See, they thought Jordan was somewhat noble, like the astronauts, someone you could trust, like the doctors. But he's really like one of those people who learned how to sell drugs online. Hashtag Chad. Forever.
It's time to check your mailbox.
Good morning, geeky people. I would think that setting a speed record for fastest marathon in a brain costume from Thursday's show would be easy. Just do it on the same day as the people trying to set the record for the fastest zombie horde to run a marathon. That is from Mad Sci, who also knew where Chad and Abby were last week because we're a little behind in our mail. Hi, geeks. This is about the September 3rd episode. Especially loved your reaction to the research into Antarctic sea sponges. That's all I have to say this time. It's always great listening to you both. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, thank you, Bill. We like being heard. It makes us feel good. Hello, my lovely geeks. Long time no communications. Well, greetings to the old colonies from here in the Code North. Jesper from Denmark is here to give a hand in solving the mystery of Chad and Abby. Finally, I think it's a show I might have seen. Are they on Flash Forward? They were last week. If not, I'll be crying, hoping you soon do a month of only having Chad and Abby in obscure Scandinavian children's shows from the 70s. Perhaps then I will have a chance. And if you think Scandinavian crime dramas are bleak, you should try the children's shows. Well, so long as always. Thank you for a great show. I've only been listening for about 15 years, but it is starting to be really good. Something he says in a language that I'm not going to even be able to say right. That is from Jesper. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, we think we're finally getting the polish the right way on this damn thing. It turns out it's wax on and then wax off.
It usually takes about 521 weeks or so before you really get something down.
If you've done it quicker than that, please give us some pointers. We need help. We're still new at this. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
We'll post about it on our MySpace.
Tom's my friend.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
I'm Allison Scagliotti, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah! She knows where the magic is. We recorded that sometime in the last 15 years.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Posh. Posh indeed. What's out today, sir?
Well, on our TV aisle, we've got The Blacklist, the complete 8th season.
Batwoman, season 2. That's the non-Ruby Rose one.
Nancy Drew, season 2.
Resident Alien, season 1, which was such a delight.
Oh, I can finally watch it then. Classic TV has G.I. Joe, a real American hero, the complete first series.
Documentary, the one and only, Dick Gregory.
And there can only be one. From Must Be Anime, based on title alone, Mio and Roji's Bureau of Supernatural Investigation, season 1.
The Gymnastic Samurai, the complete season.
Kurt Thomas? In a regular movie aisle, we've got Downstream to Kinshasa.
Lady of the Manor.
Ooh, I didn't know these were all the Hallmark Channel ones. We've also got The Power.
The Evil Next Door.
Yeah, no, seriously, these all sound like Lifetime movie. We've also got House Monster.
Violation takes coordination.
God of War 2, boy. Oh, no, wait, that's probably the Nicolas Cage one.
Last Call.
Night Drive. That sounds like an 80s.
It's a Bob Seger thing,
man.
We also have Refresh Fields and Word and Prompt. I mean F9.
There's Cruella.
And in a small town where Bram Stoker stayed once and based Dracula on the local legend of Abhartash.
I'll say.
Turns out Abhartash is awakened after the cairn over his remains is demolished due to the preparation for bypass, something already unpopular with the locals. The construction team that demolished the cairn must set out to make it right. Jack Rowan and Nigel O'Neill star in Boys from Country Hail.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, students are destroying or stealing items at their schools, often in the school bathrooms, for what school administrators and police are blaming on a TikTok trend.
Maybe it's not so bad if kids stay home a little longer.
Reports have emerged from across the country, stolen soap dispenser, damaged sink in Florida, intentionally clogged toilets and mirrors. How do you clog a mirror? And soap dispensers ripped from the walls in California. Destruction and red dye staining the bathrooms and the teacher's belongings stolen in Arkansas. Ceiling tiles and partitions destroyed in Tennessee. And a mixture of all of the above in North Carolina.
They're proud of being American.
Students have already faced school disciplinary measures and criminal charges. Administrators and law enforcement are blaming the damage on TikTok trend involving the hashtag DeviousLick or DeviousLicks or Slick, if you will. Students are said to be destroying or stealing school property for attention on social media. A lick
is now slang for theft.
That meant something very different in my day. I heard.
Kids just know that if you get caught doing the challenge, your phone will probably be seized as evidence, and it may take a long time to get it returned, if ever. If you're in schools or at sporting events, no, we'll be keeping an extra eye out for this, the West Des Moines Police Department on Iowa wrote. So please, don't. Just don't. And again, I just want to say, thank God the internet was not around when I was a kid. Jesus.
The last we saw of Deep F***ing Value, a.k.a. Roaring Kitty, a.k.a. Keith Gill, he was giving testimony to Congress and standing accused of market manipulation over his part in hyping up GameStop stocks earlier this year. Now his former employer, MassMutual, has been fined over Gill's conduct while working there.
He was probably selling used stocks.
As the New York Times reports, Gill's relentless cheerleading for shares of GameStop while employed at MassMutual was in part the company's problem. State officials said the company failed to adequately supervise his and other agents' trading and online activity, and that Mr. Gill was carrying out trades on behalf of three other people not affiliated with MassMutual without the insurer's approval.
Aw, did they get mad he was helping regular people?
Gill has been working at MassMutual while initially giving GameStop stock advice on platforms like Reddit and YouTube, and didn't resign his position until January. In addition to MassMutual not adequately supervising his conduct, he also stood accused of trading on behalf of three other people without getting his employer's approval, something a broker needs to do.
Holy meddling middle managers, Batman!
This state investigation didn't lead to any charges, and didn't directly involve Gill. Instead, MassMutual has accepted a $4 million fine, along with agreeing to an independent compliance review and other measures, while at the same time refusing to admit guilt or deny the charges. A separate inquiry into Gill himself and his own actions remains underway in Massachusetts, as does a class action lawsuit.
He showed the flaws of the system. Can't do that and expect to get away clean.
Gill and others made names for themselves on the Wall Street Bets subreddit for GameStop stock, which had been in the tank since the rise of digital game sales starting in mid-2019. Other observers began to notice that GameStop stock was massively shorted by some big hedge funds. This would go on to create a feedback loop by which investors, including amateur traders on commission-free platforms like Robinhood, could propel the price upward simply by purchasing more and more of it. These market dynamics eventually turned GameStop into a meme stock bubble that peaked at over $450 in late January before plummeting back to earth in early February. When all this went down, it was amazing to witness. Unfortunately, it did hurt GameStop in the long run. But anytime we can show the cracks in the wall that separates those that have and gatekeep from the have-nots is a very good thing for us all. Besides, if any hedge fund managers lost their fortune due to this, then, well, I hear lots of places are hiring now. Good luck living on $7.25 an hour.
Not many people gain internet notoriety and do good with it. Drew Scanlon, not one of those guys. The name may not mean anything to you, but his GIF, and I said that correctly, is used throughout the world. It's simple. He blinks incredulously, and right now, he's raising money for MS.
No, you didn't. A blink-a-thon? Man, his eyelids are gonna cramp up.
The inventor says I did. As Scanlon explains on his DonorDrive.com page, I'm not usually one to toot my own meme horn, but in this case, I'll make an exception. You see, two close friends of mine are members in their... and members of their families suffer from MS, a debilitating disease of the central nervous system that interrupts communication between the brain and the body. Millions of people suffer from MS, and there is no known cure.
Oh, he's like Jerry Lewis without the abusive and misogynistic side.
Or that clown movie. He's been participating in Bike MS, a fundraising ride of over 120 miles from San Francisco to wine country. Donations help fund multiple sclerosis research, as well as programs and services that ensure people affected by MS can live their best lives. And of course, there wasn't a ride in 2020 due to COVID, but he's looking forward to making up for lost time. As of this recording, he's already raised $73,736 of his $75,000 goal. Now, if we could just get Anakin and Padme, Omni-Man and Rick Astley on board, we might be able to beat this damn thing.
On Monday morning, pharmaceutical companies Pfizer and BioNTech announced the results of a clinical trial testing out their COVID-19 vaccine in children between the ages of 5 and 11. They claim to have found that the vaccine was safe and generated a robust immune response in participants, hopefully signaling its effectiveness. The findings have yet to be made available to the public, but the companies plan to submit the data soon to regulators in the U.S. and elsewhere to secure the vaccine's authorization for children in this age group.
Do we need to give it to those TikTok kids from earlier?
Pfizer BioNTech's vaccine was the first to win emergency authorization in the U.S. last winter, and it has since become the first to be fully approved by the FDA for all Americans over 16. Earlier this year, the vaccine was also authorized for children between 12 and 16, and Pfizer has stated that it would seek authorization for younger children before the end of 2021.
But I thought it wasn't ever going to happen.
Other countries, including Cuba and Cambodia, have recently authorized or approved the use of COVID-19 vaccines for children as young as 2 years old, even as the World Health Organization has advised countries to hold off for the time being. Pfizer's new findings are especially important, then, since theirs is the first pivotal trial data of a vaccine to be presented for children between 5 and 11.
Maybe we can stop the number of kids with COVID in the U.S. before it reaches 6 million?
These trial results provide a strong foundation for seeking authorization of our vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old, and we plan to submit them to the FDA and other regulators with urgency, Albert Bourla, Pfizer CEO and chairman, said in a statement.
What's that sound? It's the sounds of BS talking points dying.
Some of these concerns will only be addressed in time, if and once the vaccine is authorized for children in this age group, while others may be answered once the clinical trial data is made available to regulators and by extension to the public. But for now, things are looking positive.
In a good way, dealing with COVID this time.
Reuters reported earlier this month that vaccines for children 5 to 11 could be authorized as early as next month. Meanwhile, Pfizer has said that it plans to present data on their trials of children 2 to 6 years old and 6 months to 2 years by the end of 2021, which is good news. Because frankly, I'm tired of slathering my kids in horse paste.
Mick McGinty, an artist responsible for many of the most memorable pieces of video game artwork from the 1990s, has died. He passed away peacefully September 18th, as announced by his son Joby in a post. While he worked for decades across a number of fields, it's his video game contributions that most of us will be familiar with, as McGinty provided the illustrations for a number of iconic pieces of cover and promotional art, the most notable probably the Street Fighter II work, which graced everything from console and computer game covers to posters. And it's almost impossible remembering Street Fighter II, if you were around at the time and conscious of it, at any rate, without thinking of the image. Blanka's face, Ryu's limp body. You saw it so often on posters, magazines, and on shelves. Even the smallest details would burn themselves into your memory. But, as his website shows, and as VG Densetsu shared over the weekend, he also did so much more. Leisure Suit Larry box art, practically every cover for Zoo Tycoon, Streets of Rage 2, Kid Chameleon, Shining Force, and so much more. Most of his video game work comes from the 90s. McGinty worked as a professional artist for decades, either side of that, on everything from 80s movies like Harry and the Henderson and Who Framed Roger Rabbit, to corporate advertising, McDonald's, Adidas, and even album covers. Prior to his death, McGinty had been mostly producing works of fine art, particularly oil paintings, which you can see on his website at mickmcgintyfineart.com. Our thoughts are with his family and friends, and how cool all those posters looked in our rooms, and our friends were freaking jealous. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Let us know what's going on in your world and what's happening and whatnot. And if you'd like to write some Chad and Abby episodes, I told you next week we've got somebody different writing some for us. And if you'd like to do it, why not? I mean, it seems to be the cool, new, hip, trendy thing to do. I almost said trip-hindy, and that don't think that's quite right. Either way, that sounds like a bad name for a detective in some shitty story. Anyway, drop it at the podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Send a voicemail, send a text message, use magic numbers.
510-GRD.
Before Trip Hindi does.
The arcade is now closed.
Seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
Good night, suckers!
It's happening! Use the moose!
This is definitely going to end badly.
Shut up, Ronnie. You have been acting a lot different since all this weird shit started happening.
What are you saying, Cliff?
I'm saying that you seem so oddly controlled. I mean, shit.
Well, I'm just, you know, dealing with it in my own way. But I've been telling you this is all going to end badly.
God damn it, Ronnie. May I ask you a question?
Sure, ask away.
You have been saying that this is all going to end badly from the very beginning, over and over. So what made you so fucking sure of that? How did you know everything in advance?
Do you really want to know?
Yes. I want to know. I really want to know.
Okay. I know because I've read the script.
You read the script? The whole script?
Yeah, Jim gave me the whole script.
He only gave me our scenes. I never saw a complete script. What a dick.
Yeah.
So, Ronnie, how does it end then?
Well, we gotta give it our best shot.
Our best shot? Okay. Yeah. But then it ends badly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.